Jay Kernis, welcome to ThoughtCast. As the Senior Vice President of Programming at NPR, you're one of the key architects of this push to move NPR into the future. I'm wondering if you mourn the NPR of the past.
I really don't. The times now are so exciting. The idea that there are so many different and remarkable ways to reach people from radio to satellite radio, we'll see how that does. HD radio, we'll see how that does. But podcasting, I mean, you know, NPR right now is one of the biggest podcasters in the country. The idea of being able to not only do audio, but produce texts and slideshows, and slideshows with sound and video online. It's a very, very exciting time. You know, when you asked the question, I thought of, you know, the early days at NPR when we really were an alternative to most media. It was an easy place to be. We flew under the radar. We didn't have a lot of money. We really couldn't do news very well. It was a time when we did, when we covered the news a day or two late and called it analysis. You know, we can do breaking news now. We can do in-depth news now. But when I think about the early days, you know, there was that sense of making it up as you went along, the sense of experimentation. And every once in a while I used to think, you know, some of that is lost because NPR Public Radio were much more popular with, you know, 30 million listeners a week. And I thought, well, maybe some of that sense of experimentation is gone. Well, with this new media, with podcasting, with the web, it's all returned, and there's so much more space. So many more people can be part of the experiment. We can pilot so many more things. You know, at NPR, maybe we piloted at most a new show idea a year because it's so expensive to make a good radio program, a high-quality radio program. Someone comes up with an idea now, and it's like, well, you know, if it's not ready for radio, let's begin as a podcast. Let's begin it as a podcast. If it works, you know, it can grow. Who knows what it can grow into? Maybe it can grow into a radio program. But the new technologies and the new platforms have really returned that sense of possibility and experimentation. So it's really exciting.
Jay, you helped create Morning Edition, a signature program for NPR, and recently you helped bring the Tavis Smiley Show to public radio. That's a huge jump in style.
It is. But if you go back to the original mission statement, mostly penned by our great visionary, Bill Siemering, his words were, "Public radio will speak in many voices, with many accents." And over the years, I mean, over the, you know, 30 years of NPR's success, I actually think for all the remarkably talented people we have, the voices almost got too much the same. So when the African American Public Radio Consortium came to NPR and said, you know, Morning Edition really isn't serving African-American listeners. It really isn't doing the job. We need to hear a black voice on the air. And the consortium also suggested Tavis. I mean, that goes right back to the original Siemering mission statement in 1971. You know, the PRPD core values, the core values which explain why listeners are so devoted to public radio programming, come into play here. As long as the quality is high, as long as the show represents this love of lifelong learning, as long as there is information that empowers me, I think there's much more latitude in the kinds of voices that can be on public radio than are represented now. And of course, we have to do much better in terms of Latino voices. The American landscape is enormous, and if we're just reflecting one part of it, we're not doing our job.
This goes back to the cliche of NPR being for the latte set. You want to break that?
Yes, I mean, we all want to break it, meaning NPR, PRI, American Public Media, I mean, all the stations. The fact is that the kind of programming that we do, for the most part, attracts college-educated people, listeners. Because of the college education, they might earn a little more money than most Americans. Because of who they are, they may have more interest in their communities. They may vote more. You know, they count on the information that they hear on public radio and read on websites to really empower them. It's also an audience that is growing older. I mean, the median age is probably 52 or 53. It's the smartest, most loyal audience you ever could have, and certainly we're grateful. But our mission is to serve as many Americans as we can with this very special content. And so that's our challenge. That's our challenge in the next few years, to reach into to younger demographics with very smart programming.
How far do you think you would like to see NPR go? How far are you willing to go in terms of creating this media marketplace that you were describing a couple of days ago? You were saying that NPR can be a curator in a world of listeners who are eager to interact.
I'll tell you what comes to mind, and this will sound really it's sort of nutty, but there are times where I think when people think of radio, I want them to think of National Public Radio. I want them to think of public radio. I want people to think when I'm going to turn on a radio, they're going to want to, it's like the tissue brand. It's like, when you think of a tissue, I mean, a lot of times you think Kleenex.
But radio, as you call it, is a one-way medium, and you've been urging NPR to think of it more as a dialogue.
There are many ways of doing that. I mean, our shows now read emails and listener remarks, but the future, which other people are doing, involves in some ways, while you're still doing journalism, the ability for the audience to interact with the programming, to download it, to edit it, to choose when they want to hear it, to rate it, to send it to other people, to augment it, to play with it. I mean, that's what the technology allows. Now, in the space of journalism, what does that mean? I will give you an example. If you went to npr.org, you will see a blog by Leroy Sievers called My Cancer. This is a Nightline producer who discovered he was not only, he not only had cancer, he was in remission, and the cancer came back. And he did an essay about this for Morning Edition. He was a Morning Edition contributor, an essayist. And it was so powerful that I said to Morning Edition, call Sievers. He should be on the air once a month talking about his ideas about having cancer and dealing with it. He should be podcasting once a week, and he should be blogging every day. It is some of the most dramatic and compelling content that I have heard and I have read. He has given voice to people who didn't have voice. He's given courage to people who just didn't know how to turn. He's connected this community together. And there is this synergy, sorry about that word, but there is this synergy between what's on the radio and what's happening in the podcast and what's happening in the daily blog. I mean, I really don't know how many come in, but we post some days 40 to 45 of these highly dramatic reactions to each blog posting. I mean, it's just an indicator of making connections through these different technologies.
Jay Kernis, thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much. This was great.